a song, Val. Our Holy Father, we come before Thee with humble hearts, thanking Thee, Father, for this opportunity of being together, one service. We pray, Father, that the times that we have suffered through recently from the standpoint of having to worship in different ways, we pray that these things might make us stronger, Father, that we might do those things that would make us better Christians, to learn to live closer to Thee each day. Father, we thank Thee for those that have been ill, those that are ill and have had improvements. We thank Thee for this very much, and we pray, Father, for those that were mentioned in the announcements that are continuing to be ill in the hospitals, and our brother Jim Rydell-Hoover has surgery tomorrow. We pray, Father, for those that are in the nursing homes, assisted living facilities. We pray that You'd be with them and give them comfort. Help us, Father, to be mindful of these and helpful in whatever way might be available to us. Help us to continually remember these in prayer, Father. Father, we thank Thee for this congregation of Thy people, and we pray that we might always worship in accordance with Thy will, that we might always have harmony, that we might show the love that You'd have us to each other and for You and for the work. Help us, Father, to be diligent in our strive to live in accordance with Thy will. Father, we thank Thee for those that oversee this congregation. We know, Father, that this is an awesome task, and we pray that we might hold their hands high, that we might be supportive of the things that they do and be understanding of the things that we do. Father, we thank Thee for the one that will stand before us shortly and bring to us a lesson from Thy word, and we pray that he might have a ready recollection of those things that he's prepared. He might deliver them in such a way that we might gain the most from them to help us live closer to Thee each day. Father, we thank Thee for those that are visiting with us this morning and for those that have joined us by live stream. We pray that You'd be with them as they, for those that are traveling, that they, as they travel, that You'd be with them and give them a safe journey. Father, at this time we'd ask that You be with us as we live this life, that You'd forgive us of our sins, knowing that we sometimes fall short of doing those things You'd have us to do. Help us to be strengthened each day, Father, to learn from our mistakes and turn from them and refrain from repeating. Father, we'd ask You be with us in all things. Forgive our sins in Christ's name. Amen.
If you have your Bible with you, would you take it out, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 122 is where we'll begin this morning, and if you're visiting with us, as has been said, we're so grateful for your presence. And if you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. There should be one provided for you nearby there in the pew. And if you'll turn to the book of Psalms right in the middle of the Bible, it will be helpful to you to read along with some of the things that we're going to be doing. And we're going to be staying just within a few pages of Psalm 122 for the entirety of our lesson this morning. In their email announcing that we were returning to one service together on Sunday morning, the elders referenced Psalm 122 in verse 1, which says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" That is incredibly appropriate to what we are doing this morning. So I decided to look at the verse in its context and build our service around that concept this morning. This psalm is in the midst of what are called the Psalms of Ascents, or degrees, or steps, depending on your translation. And it is believed that these were the psalms sung by the Jews in Jesus' day and before as they were coming up to the temple to worship on the feast days, even as they were walking up the many steps to the temple itself, some of which survive to this day that you can see if you were to go to Jerusalem today. We are told of this occasion on a couple of occasions in the Bible. We're told in Luke chapter 2 and verse 41 that Jesus' earthly parents, as good practicing Jews, did this every year on the feast of the Passover. In Acts chapter 2 and verses 5 through 11, we are told that there were Jews from every nation under heaven in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And then the text lists where they were from. And it's literally all the points of the compass in the known world of that time. And so good Jews would come together for the Passover feast every year and then stay in Jerusalem for 50 days or so until the day of Pentecost. And I think especially this morning, we can imagine that scene, can't we? All these people who are strangers and sojourners in other parts of the world, they come back together in Jerusalem to worship God with their people, where they fit, where they belong. And after a year apart, what a joyous reunion that must have been for them to see friends and family again, to see young people and how they had grown over the course of the year, to mourn together over the loss of folks who had passed on in their old age, to be together in feasting and celebration, and to worship together again. And they would have sung the psalms that they knew by heart. And these psalms, Psalms 120 through 134, as they walked up together to the temple. And you can imagine the crowd growing larger and larger as people come from all the little towns and villages where they were staying. And the singing grows louder and louder as they approach Jerusalem and enter the gates of the city and then march up the steps of the temple so that they might worship God together again. You can imagine the chills that they had to feel their voices blending in worship to their God. Well, for us, at Timberland Drive, today marks exactly 1 year from our last full service all together on Sunday morning. What a joyous reunion it is to be together again. The joy of returning to worship together cannot be overstated for me. And I am so grateful for the electronic means of our day and age that have afforded us the opportunity to worship, even if it's over the live streaming. And I am grateful, too, for those of you who are still joining us online. But I am overjoyed to be back together again in one service. So the sermon this morning is really a service of thanksgiving that is intended to mirror the psalms the people of God would sing at their yearly reunion and going back to the temple to worship. And we will only read a few verses from each of these psalms, but I encourage you over the course of this week to go back and read them all. And those psalms begin with Psalm 120, which describes the sojourner who dwells in the world. Read with me Psalm 120, beginning in verse 1. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Drop down to verse 5. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. These are places far removed from Jerusalem and Judea. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Now, that might seem like a surprising way to begin these songs as they're going in to worship God, but what he describes is where his home is. It's not in Jerusalem. It's in a place far removed from there. He is a sojourner in a far country, and he is glad to return to God's people to worship. Let us never forget that this world is not our home. We, too, are sojourners, But the closest we get to our true home, to heaven, is when we come together to assemble in the midst of God. As we come together again, let us be reminded of who we are by examining these psalms and singing our own hymns that correspond to them. We are sojourners, strangers, and pilgrims in this world. We desire peace and fellowship with the world by their conversion. But too often, all the world wants with us as Christians is war. And we are seeking safety and refuge in a world that is hostile to us and against God far too often. To find that refuge, we should imitate the actions and characteristics of the personified sojourner we see in these psalms. These 15 psalms can be divided into five groups of three that describe where our refuge is found as the people of God. The first group of psalms describe the refuge of collective worship while in the world, what we're associating in even this morning. The sojourner dwells in the world, yes, but while in the world, he is not of the world. Instead, the sojourner turns toward the Lord. Read Psalm 121, beginning in verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who knows, he who keeps you, will not slumber. Drop down to verse 7. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You know, whether filled with friend or foe, physical things like the hills where he was looking, in our time the hills might be our money or our possessions or our position or our popularity or the government or family, physical things like the hills are not the source of our most important help. From whence does our help come? From the Lord. And from the sojourner's physical dwelling place in the physical world and ours, we should turn to the Creator of the universe for direction, for purpose, and for help. Psalm 122, beginning in verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. The sojourner enters the house of the Lord with gladness. If you think about it, we have entered the temple of the Lord this morning. Not this physical building where we are sitting, but the spiritual building of his people that's described in the New Testament. What joy there is to come together to worship. And is that my attitude when I come to worship? Is it yours? Of course it is. And perhaps we've been reminded of how abundantly blessed we are to have that opportunity over this past year. I get to be with the best people in the world this morning who stir me up to love and good works, worshiping God in anticipation of the next world. And what could be better than that? And so the characteristics of the sojourner found in these verses are distinction from the world. We're different from the world, and the world knows it, and we know it. It is reliance on God in all things and a love for worship. Does that describe us collectively? Does that describe you individually? I pray that it does, and let us sing of it together.
Sing number 68 in the Lord's Songbook. Lord, we come before thee now.
Lord, we come before thee now. Thank you.
Section is the refuge of God while in the world. Psalm 123, the sojourner looks to God's mercy in the face of the world's contempt. Read with me beginning in verse 1. Unto you I lift up my eyes, you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. Where do we go when the world turns against us in contempt? We must fix our eyes on Jesus and make our requests to God. God is the deliverer. He gives mercy to escape that persecution, temptation, and ridicule of the world. And if you live the Christian life long enough, the reality is the world will at times hate you. But don't be surprised at that. It hated Jesus first. But God's love and providential care is far greater and far more important than the love or the hatred of the world. Psalm 124, the sojourner blesses God for God's help and defense. Read beginning in verse 6, if you will. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. How helpless is an animal in a trap, or a bird in a snare, or a fish in a hook? We have some visitors who are here who have been fishing all week. How helpless is that animal? Well, that's us. In this world,
We have enemies that we cannot defeat on our own, enemies of sin and death and Satan. And each of these enemies is stronger than us. All of these have ensnared us as human beings. But God is able to set us free from their snares, and how grateful we should be for that freedom, to overcome sin, to live never to die again, and to defeat Satan through the blood and power of Jesus. Psalm 125, the sojourner trusts in God. Read beginning in verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. Verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. You know why I trust God? I trust God because He can be trusted. God makes no mistakes. He always does good and He judges rightly. God knows those who are His. Do we know that we are His? Do we trust Him to guide and to save and to deliver? The characteristics of the sojourner found in these Psalms are first prayer. We are a people who pray to God and look to Him for mercy and grace no matter what is happening in the world. We are a people of gratitude who see God's blessings and help and defense for us. And we are most of all a people of faith who trust God to do good to His people. Does that describe us? Does that describe you? Let us sing of it together.
Number 63, I Need Thee Every Hour.
I need thee every hour, Lord, grace of the Lord, Lord, send your divine fire, and be thy.
songbook number 110. If you are able, please stand for this song, number 110.
Is the refuge of God's direction while in the world. Psalm 126, the sojourner expresses the joy of restoration to God. Read beginning in verse 1.
When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. They said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." Maybe your translation says, "as the streams of the Negev." Now that's an arid, desert-like place.
And as we consider that concept,
have you ever walked in a dry riverbed or a dry stream bed? Where I grew up in West Texas, we had some family land, and that land was filled with breaks and canyons, and a lot of it had been washed out from flash floods. And I remember when I was 10 or 11 or 12 going down into one of those and looking up at where the water had been the last time, and it was 10, 11, 12 feet up. But then I looked down at my feet, and all there was dirt and sand, totally dry. And it was amazing to imagine water rushing through that dry place so quickly and so powerfully that it could uproot trees. Well, what is described by the psalmist here?
What he describes is how quickly and powerfully God can restore his people from sin and judgment. It is a flash flood of restoring grace. And isn't that a blessing? The Lord has done great things for us, even us in our sin and our shame. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 127, the sojourner relies on God to build his family. Read verse 1 with me. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Now it is clear that the psalmist had more in mind than the building of physical buildings and the protecting of physical cities. He goes on to describe the blessing of children, making it clear that it is the spiritual building and protecting of the home that is his focus in Psalm 127. Our relying on God is not a religious thing or a Sunday thing only. For the sojourner, we allow God to be the one who directs every aspect of our life, including our families, because God knows what is best. Psalm 128, the sojourner fears God and walks in God's ways. Read with me, if you would, Psalm 128, beginning in verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. This describes one who fears God and walks in his ways. The wise man Solomon wrote the psalm just before this. We read just a moment ago, Psalm 127, and it is possible, even likely, that he wrote this one as well. And it is that wise man who said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. This, fearing God and walking in his ways, is what life is about. And this is the path to true blessings, both physically and spiritually. If you want a life that is blessed, then fear God and keep his commandments. The characteristics of the sojourner found in this section are joy. Rejoice, fellow pilgrims. We are right with God and we are on our way to heaven. And how do we know that? Because we are characterized by submission to God in all areas of our life, not just some of them, and fear of God that leads to obedience to his word and his will. Does that describe us? Does that describe you? Let's sing about it together.
Number 4, blessed assurance, number 4. Can you imagine what singing will be like in heaven? It's good to be together and to sing and to worship, to hear everyone's voices blended together. So let's sing out.
Know me.
Blessed assurance, he is divine. For the poor things of glory divine. Heir of salvation, virgin of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my glory, this is my
Thank you.
Number 472, God Give Us Christian Homes, number 472.
Know me.
God give us Christian homes, homes where our Bible is loved and taught, homes where the pastor's will is sought, homes where with beauty thy love has taught. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the Father is true and strong. Homes that are free from the light of wrong. Homes that are joyous with love and song. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the mother in queenly quest strives to show others my way is best. Homes where the Lord is an honor guest. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the children are led to know Christ in His beauty who loves Him so.
The next section is the refuge of God's promises while in the world. Psalm 129, if you're still following along, let's read beginning in verse 1. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. The sojourner anticipates God's victory over the world.
I hate losing. Those of you who know me know that. Yesterday, Madison started softball for the first time, and I thought to myself, you know what? This time I'm not going to care. I'm just going to lay back and enjoy it. That's what I'm going to do. And it took one inning, I'm up on the fence, you know. And yet, I have lost the battle with sin far too many times to count.
What do I do in the midst of all of this losing? From my youth, as the psalmist says, I have been afflicted with this adversity, but they have not prevailed against me. Not by my own strength, but by the Lord's. The Lord is going to win, brethren. The enemy will be put to shame and turned back. And if we are on the Lord's side, we're going to win too. That's a promise from God. Psalm 130, the sojourner waits in hope for God's redemption. Begin reading in verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, he describes a tally mark for each time that we sin, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in His word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning, he describes.
Is the sun going to come up tomorrow? That's what he's asking. Well, if the Lord wills, it will. It's done so for thousands of years. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him is abundant redemption. As sure as we can be of the sun coming up tomorrow, that's how sure we can be of God's word. And if it were on the basis of what I have done, I could not stand before a holy God. But God offers forgiveness for those who wait on him. And it is by that sure word of God and God's promises contained within it that I have hope in my redemption. So I can wait and wait patiently in expectation that God is rich in mercy and with him is abundant redemption. And then the last psalm of this section, Psalm 131, the sojourner finds contentment in God. Verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, nor do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my spirit, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. I heard a sermon one time from this text, and the preacher called it the four keys to contentment. And what were they? Well, this preacher identified humility, self-acceptance, and self-control in verses 1 and 2 as keys to humility. And certainly contentment requires such things. But even those three things don't bring true and lasting contentment without the fourth element, hope and trust in God. It is that hope and trust that can lead us to be content in this life. As Paul said, contentment must be learned and found, and only in Christ can it be so. And so the characteristics of the sojourner we imitate here are hope, patience, and contentment. And each flows from the previous, like, as we've sung, steps going up. We anticipate and expect the victory of God, but we must wait for it in hope. And this hope allows us to be content in whatever state we are in physically, because we know that our hope is not found in this physical life alone. It is found in the next. Does that describe you? Does that describe us? Let's think about it.
Number 360. Standing on the promises, number 360. Would you please stand?
No soul.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through tribulations let his praise bring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Is of God. Stand free, stand free, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Stand free, stand free. I stand before.
Number 28 in the supplement. For you have promised. Number 28. No.
Oh, Father, draw me close to you. God, now my spirit be renewed. And yet I know you here for you. Father, here for you have promised, and I believe. Then I will pray.
This morning describes the refuge of God's people while in the world.
We find refuge here
among the people of God. Psalm 132, the sojourner desires to dwell with the Messiah in Zion. Read with me beginning in verse 10.
For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Now that word anointed there we know more commonly as Messiah, or in Greek the word Christ. He says, don't make the Christ, the Messiah, your anointed's face, turn away from us. Instead, let him be here with us. Let him dwell among us. As he says, continuing in verse 11, the Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set your throne upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons shall also sit upon your throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Unfortunately, the physical descendants of David who sat upon a physical throne in Israel never fulfilled these promises. Instead, they are fulfilled in a spiritual Messiah who, yes, is from the
family of David in Jesus Christ. This is the longest of these Psalms, and it's the most forward-looking as well. The sojourner longs for a day that is coming when the Messiah will reign in Zion. Brethren, that day has come. And though we do not yet rule with him in heaven, Jesus the Christ, the Son of David, the Anointed One, the Messiah the Christ, he is on his throne there now. Do we long and look forward to that day where we can be with him and dwell with him in the spiritual Zion? Do we say, as Paul said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain? Do we say, as John said at the end of the New Testament, as the revealed things were brought to a close, he says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Is that our attitude? I believe that it is. Of those who are assembled here, we look forward to that greater day. And, like the sojourner, Psalm 133, the sojourner unifies with his brethren. Verse 1, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, to those who have only known unity, this verse might seem like just how things are. But things are not that way everywhere. Thank God. And I do. I do weekly. I thank God for our unity here. It is not just good and right and holy and pleasing to the Lord. It is all those things. But as the psalmist says, it is also pleasant. Strife is a burden. Strife is terrible to experience. But unity is pleasant and wonderful. It is a blessing. So seek peace and pursue it. And then finally, Psalm 134, the sojourner blesses God in the sanctuary with his brethren. Our last verses are verses 1 through 3. We'll read this psalm. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord, who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. What a journey we've been on this morning. Outside and far away from Jerusalem and far away lands, the people of God have come into his temple. And in this last of these psalms, the image is of night falling as the day of worship has come to an end. And yet still the people of God are standing in his sanctuary to worship him because they don't want to leave. They came up the steps in the morning, and now they stay in God's sanctuary. They live to praise God and to bless his name in unity. And like the steps leading up to the temple, again, these characteristics ascend from one to the next. The sojourner is spiritually minded, concerned with things of eternal significance, like God's kingdom and God's Messiah. And so he finds unity with like-minded people who are concerned with those same spiritual things. And together, with one mind, one heart, and one voice, we praise the one we all imitate and desire to be with. So here's what I ask you to do. In these last two songs, let us, as God's people, concerned with spiritual things, with this great unity that God has given us in his Son, let us with one voice praise him in anticipation of that day that is coming. Will you do that with me? Let's sing together.
We're marching to Zion, number 190.
Come we that love the Lord and let our joy be known. Joy in the song with sweet accord. And love the ground of all men.
Dallas Symbol, number 76 in the small songbook. Number 76. Do ti la do
we shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne.
To the things that we've done and thought about this morning, we are all supposed to be sojourners on planet Earth. This world is not our home, and your assignment, should you choose to accept it, is to pick up one of those handouts on the way out and examine the qualities of the sojourner that are described in these Psalms. And examine the actions that the sojourner takes as he strives to serve God as he should. And ask yourself, as I will ask myself in prayerful consideration, do these things describe me? Our life here will come to an end, or the Lord will come again before it does. And the only question that remains is, where will our home be then? Will it be a place of loneliness and despair, an eternity filled with darkness and pain? Or will it be a joyous reunion with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and the heavenly hosts and all the saints who have gone on before, where we come together to worship God, both now and forevermore? Through the blood of Christ, God has given you the choice, no, the opportunity to come to Him in love. And won't you do so this morning? And be born again into the family of God. We invite you to do so as together we stand and while we sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Trust and obey, for
Before we take the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 527 in the Large Songbook, number 527.
By faith I see Mount Calvary, by faith I see that cruel tree. I see His pain, I see His cry, by faith I see my
set aside as it is each first day of the week for us to eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of the sacrifice that Jesus made for each of us. The cup that Jesus drank, as he speaks of in Matthew 26, was filled with mocking, with abandonment, with suffering, and ultimately his crucifixion. And yet he was willing to drink it to the very last drop. The cup we drink today and the bread we eat spared us from that, and through his sacrifice allowed us hope. Would you bow with me? Father, we humbly bow before you, thankful that our Savior Jesus didn't allow that cup to pass, Father, that he was willing to drink its contents and all it entailed. Fathers, we partake of this bread which represents his body. May we clear our minds and partake in a worthy manner. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we partake of this cup, which represents his shed blood, Father, we pray that we would remember the cup that Jesus drank, what he went through, that each of us might have hope. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Couple of more announcements to pass on to you for just a moment, if I may. We've mentioned the need for teachers during the second quarter several times. Monty tells me that need is filled, and to express thanks to the congregation. Now you can start on the third quarter, if you would, signing up for teaching. Also, I have a card from Ed Bush. We mentioned his health problems, and he is give us a card to read. And the card says, hearts touched by the Lord's kindness, can't help but be grateful. Thank you so much. But he's written and said, I would like to take this opportunity to thank my brothers and sisters in Christ for all your prayers during my illness over the last several months. Also, your cards, letters, telephones, calls, and text messages have been very uplifting during my hospital stay and isolation at home. My current medical situation is that I have received a clean bill of health from the prostate surgery, and I am now dealing with a blood disorder called MDS, which causes my body to need to produce platelets, or not to produce platelets. I'm currently taking chemo treatments. It is to improve the issue, but until that time, transfusions once or twice a week. Please continue to pray for me in your prayers. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. In Christian love, Ed Bush. Also would remind you of the services that's coming up the rest of the day. The high school, junior high, will meet at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then this afternoon at 5 o'clock, we'll meet again. We appreciate very much the presence of each of you. We have a number of visitors. We thank you for coming. If you have not done so, there are some cards, visitors' cards on the table in the foyer. We would appreciate it if you'll take time to fill one of them out and leave the card there on the table and we'll get it. We appreciate so much you being with us. Appreciate the good lesson from Reagan reminding us of our duty and our hope and our joys as we serve the Lord. Anything else that we need to make mention of? Nothing else, then we'll ask you to stand and Brent Slatter will come forth and lead us in a dismissal prayer.
Will you pray with me this morning? Our God and our Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful that you're our God and you've afforded us the opportunity to be called your children. Through an obedience of faith and trusting in the promises that you've set before us, we can have an assurance of a home in heaven with you one day. Father, we pray that we would do our duty and not be neglectful of the things that we're commanded to do in your word, particularly at this time to pray for and care for those that have been mentioned, those being sick or ill from a physical nature or spiritual nature. We pray that you would strengthen us to do our duty to care for them. Father, we realize we live in a world that we lose track and we look at this world around us and we take confidence in our physical blessings and knowing these things give us a temporary joy. But may we realize that that's just the case, that it is a temporary joy, that those blessings are of your hand, and may we not take those things for granted. May we realize that there's an eternal home for our souls. May we be guided by your promises and may we take refuge in your word as we try to go forth and bring righteousness into our lives and therefore being a light to those around us. Father, as we are dismissed from this place but never from your presence, may we be strengthened in your promises to do just that, to live for you in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name.